All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation. We are back, the Crypto 101 podcast, with yet another fantastic guest, if I do say so. We are joined, Mr. Aaron Pizzamind Malone, by Kevin Tai, who is with Linear Finance. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Nice to be on the show today.
Yeah, so look, actually, before I jump in, Pete, how you feeling over there, buddy? I didn't even let you get a word in.
That's okay. Sometimes that's for the best. our ratings manager has definitely said more content, less Pizza Mind conspiracy theory. Accuracy, regardless. So we want to talk about more DeFi stuff today. And I'm excited to learn about people who are building the future of finance, the solutions rather than the problems. Let's be solutions oriented here on this show going forward. That's my New Year's resolution here as we're recording in October. We're solutions focused. So Kevin, give us the high level overview of what you guys are building over there at Linear Finance.
Yeah, so essentially Linear is a decentralized synthetic asset exchange. So users can come onto Linear's dApps, essentially stake their Linear tokens, their LINA tokens, and build our stable coin, which is LUSD, and then subsequently use that to trade on our exchange. Basically, we have synthetic, we have about 19 pairs right now, a number of crypto pairs and a few indices, and we're crypto indices, and we're looking to go ahead and expand that out. We've also started our perpetual series, where users can essentially go ahead and short BTC and ETH, and we'll also be building out additional pairs on for that. And we do this all on BSC, so users actually get get to do their transactions quite quickly, as well as reduced transaction costs. And so I think obviously we are continuing to see the build out of DeFi on the BSC ecosystem. It was quite hot for a while. And as additional people come on, we're looking to kind of expand out our ecosystem, right? So we're looking for people to accept our Linear tokens as well as our LUSD, all right? Now, with Linear, we're cross-chain. So originally we were, we're an ERC-20 token, and we have a bridge. So people can bridge themselves from ETH to BSC and then back to ETH to access the ETH ecosystem. So we have quite a lot of greenfield ahead of us to go ahead and as we continue to expand.
Awesome. So this is Crypto 101, and Linear Finance is maybe 301 or 401. So I want to bring us all of our viewers and listeners just up to speed real quick. This might be the first time they've been listening to a DeFi focused podcast. Can you give us the 101? What is decentralized finance? And Kevin, why of all the industries that you could have been working in and building fantastic technology, why did you choose this one?
So essentially decentralized finance means that what people are building out is replicating the financial system onto the blockchain. So that once you go ahead and you build these dApps, it's basically it's permissionless and it's censorship resistant. So you can go ahead and basically do transactions with just simply your wallet address. And it's kind of like the way I would kind of think about it is like you're putting the banks onto the blockchain. And you're taking out a lot of the middlemen who are in there that go ahead and skim fees. So if you look at people like Compound, Aave, Cream, they were essentially the first ones that are really the main building blocks of decentralized finance. It's basically banks, right? Simple borrowing and lending assets on chain, doing it, any person around the globe can go ahead and do it as long as they have a wallet and they have internet access. And your transactions are all done on ETH and everything is verifiable. And so there's a lot of transparency. And I think that's kind of what is popular now with people these days is that they're getting tired of, I would say, dealing with big banks, right? Banks are, the way I will think about it is, and if you talk to the guys at Celsius, they'll tell you, banks are not your friends at the end of the day. You go ahead and you lend money out to the, you deposit your money into the banks. They take your money and they put it into God forsakes whatever types of risky investments, and they give you a small amount of yield. And that just doesn't fit with the risk return profiles. But with DeFi, it's different. Everything is transparent. You know kind of where your money is going and you know where it's being lent out, and you actually can generate quite an amount of yield. Now, I mean, DeFi has been around for, I would say, the last kind of 2 or 3 years. Over the last year, it's kind of really, really kind of blown up. And more people are coming online as they're becoming more and more yield hungry and getting more accustomed to interacting with the protocols. And the TBL has obviously exploded. I think the last time it was like 10 billion or something on
DeFi. That's total value locked inside these platforms.
That's right. And that's just for Ethereum. And you're not talking about all the other chains like BSC or Polygon, as well as Binance Smart Chain. So we have a lot of things to go through and a lot of building blocks and challenges going forward. More and more advanced products, things like derivatives, you'll see with things like Linear, and obviously the regulatory challenges are going forward. But DeFi is obviously here to stay, and so there's going to be it's going to be quite exciting, and it's a good time to get involved now.
Yeah. Now, something you mentioned a little while ago was synthetic assets. Our listeners have probably heard of digital assets before, and they're learning the differences between one and the other. All digital assets are not alike. There's cryptocurrencies, there's utility tokens, security tokens, and then you brought up another, I mean, there's even more than that, but the one thing you mentioned is a synthetic asset. What exactly is a synthetic asset? And are the ones on Linear cross-platform that could be minted elsewhere, or only natively minted tokens on Linear work? How does your platform work with synthetic assets?
And So synthetic asset is basically an asset that tracks the price of an underlying another asset, right? So if we have synthetic BTC, or synthetic Bitcoin, or synthetic Ethereum, the synthetic version basically tracks the price of Bitcoin or Ethereum. It's not actually Bitcoin or Ethereum, right? But it is.
It can live on another chain that might move faster or cheaper or be more interoperable or whatever, right?
Fair enough. And these all run into basically same gamut as what we consider to be derivatives. For Linear, our synthetic assets are minted on our protocol, but they can be moved around the DeFi ecosystem. and part of become part of kind of the DeFi Legos and building blocks. So you can take our liquid BTC and move it around to Uniswap and to any other parts of BSC, as well as the Ethereum chain, into other dApps, as long as they accept them. So, and you'll see that, you know, it's not just us, obviously a lot of other protocols are also building out these kind of synthetic assets, because it's quite, it's super easy, but you know, we as long as we have reliable price feeds from oracles, we can go ahead and build these out.
So tell us a little bit more about the impact that you think decentralized synthetic trading will have on traditional markets, almost as more of the real world assets become mirrored on the blockchain.
I would think, okay, well, you know, the derivatives market is so huge, and it continues to grow, particularly on within DeFi. So I would think that you would have more effect of what shows up in the traditional markets will affect kind of what shows up onto the DeFi space, because, you know, obviously the ability to go ahead and mirror financial assets, whether it is stocks or anything else that's traded on the other exchanges, and putting it into DeFi is quite powerful, because, you know, a lot of times certain people around the world are not allowed to trade, you know, US stocks or certain financial securities. And so they're looking for ways to gain basically exposure to S&P 500 or to Tesla, as what we've kind of seen that are very popular in the space. But DeFi allows them to do that. And the synthetic derivatives allow them to go ahead and do that. Now, it's not 100% the same, because sometimes these stocks spit out dividends. And as a derivative holder of, if you hold Tesla, you're not going to be able to get these dividends, but you'll certainly be able to take price action. So it opens the realm up for the ability for users to go ahead and gain exposures to what they typically don't have.
Now, when we call these mirrored assets, is this mirror white? Or if there's a bunch of offshore interest in a synthetic Tesla stock and there's tremendous amount of buying interest, will that boost Tesla stock up in the other direction? Or is it only one way from Tesla's actual stock price coming into effect the PEG token?
In other words, can the tail wag the dog?
Yeah, there is no, you know, because obviously we're creating these synthetic stocks, synthetic assets. They don't affect the supply and demand of the real Tesla, okay? But obviously, you know, it that doesn't always have to occur in order to affect the price, right? So if there is a substantial amount of demand for Tesla, you know, maybe it gets picked up in the news, and then people in the real finance world actually go ahead and buy Tesla shares, right? So we don't know, essentially, it's not a perfect one-for-one correlation on how, what affects what, right? But you do know that, with the mirrored stocks on our synthetic, it doesn't actually affect supply and demand.
I just wanted to make sure that our listeners understood that, because when we hear mirror, we might think it works in two directions, but not the case yet, anyway, here in crypto.
Once you realize what's happened in the last week, the only thing you can say is holy flipping smokes. Inflation just hit a 30-year high. Disney has entered the race to the metaverse. I mean, Elon Musk is selling his Tesla stock because Twitter told him to? I mean, quality chaos does keep things interesting, but when it comes to your financial well-being, less chaos is better, right? You don't always need to take big risks to get big rewards. In fact, there's a dependable asset class that billionaires have used to grow their wealth for centuries. Its total value might explode by over $1 trillion in less than 5 years. And it beat the S&P 500 by threefold between 1995 and 2020, with nearly zero correlation to public equities. And this may shock you, but this asset class is contemporary art. New York City's newest $1 billion fintech unicorn is called Masterworks.io, and they've revolutionized the lucrative art market by making multi-million dollar paintings investable like a company's stock.
with already over $250 million in assets under management, Masterworks is off to the races. So guess what, guys? You can skip their wait list and you can get access today by going to masterworks.io/crypto101. Again, that's masterworks.io/crypto101. And guys, also please see the show notes for important disclosures and disclaimers. And you can also see those important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. All right, now on to the show. And could you real quick tell people how that they can mint sort of mirrored stocks on Linear Finance?
Yeah, so essentially what we do is that every time users stake Linear and they can mint LUSD, which is our stablecoin, there's a certain over-collateralization ratio that they basically can mint in terms of the amount of LUSD, okay? And essentially, once you stake, you serve as a counterparty to all the trades on the exchange. So it is a bit complex, and users essentially get LUSD, and they have debt levels, and it's something that it takes quite a bit of time to go ahead and understand. But with the fact that we have users that are staking and serving as a counterparty, we can then go ahead and mint essentially whatever we want to go ahead and mint, as long as we have Oracle pricing. Right. So if your users are interested, I would strongly suggest you go on to obviously our Discord and read some of our Medium articles and kind of get into the technical details of how the protocol actually works.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because synthetic assets, while they are extremely powerful, they're typically, I would probably say, traded by more sophisticated traders or investors. So does Linear work to cater to the investors with more experience in the synthetic sector? Or would you say the goal of Linear is to demystify these assets and bring these tools to a wider audience?
We would love to bring a more wider audience into the protocol. But at the end of the day, there does need to be a level of sophistication and understanding and some education that goes into this. So it's not a simple like yield farm where you just drop and click and you get some yield. At the end of the day, there's certain things you have to understand about collateralization ratios, debt levels, you know, APYs. So it does take a bit of understanding for the traders and the stakers.
All right. Well, we definitely want to learn more about that on a deep level, but we'll have to do that another time. We don't have too many developers on Binance Smart Chain on the show, so I want to pick your brain about that for a moment. What are the pros and cons of developing on Binance Smart Chain versus Ethereum or, you know, a Tezos or Cardano? Like, why did you guys choose BSC as your home chain?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously before when we first started the development, that was kind of when DeFi was really kind of exploding. And to this day, I think you guys all know, if you've used a lot of the DeFi protocols on Ethereum, the transaction fees are substantial, particularly for protocols where the smart contracts are complex and they're quite intermingled, which means the gas limits are high. It means that each transaction touch point is quite a lot. So
it's worse than banks.
Yeah, worse than banks. That's true. So if you're going to go ahead and use it and you're not a whale, right? If you're not a whale and you're just a guy with a few hundred, you know, you can easily see yourselves eating into that with the transaction fees on ETH. And so that's kind of why we chose BSC. BSC was EVM compatible. You know, it's the transaction speeds are quite fast. The TPS is quite fast and the fees are low. And so at that point in time, this chain, BSC, was kind of afforded to us, and we were quite lucky to go ahead and get ourselves implemented on there. Now, I mean, hey, I'll say it, you know, ETH is kind of the King Kong gorilla of smart contracts, right? So the ecosystem on there is huge and it's established. But, you know, we feel that with BSC, it's growing, and people love the fact that the transaction fees are low and they can still go ahead and get and mint and stake and do all the transactions on our protocol with substantially less fees. I think if we did a comparison, the fees, our fees are probably, you know, 60-70% lower than if we were to be on ETH.
That's great. Well, yeah. Wonderful decision to do all that. And another wonderful decision you made is you recently launched the Linear DAO to give up full control of this protocol you built to send your child off to school for the first time and have it now raised by the society around it. Tell us a little bit more about Linear DAO. Why did you feel this was the right move for your company? And how does your role in the DAO change going forward?
Yeah, so obviously when we first started building out Linear, the idea was that ultimately this would be a community-based kind of protocol. And so the ultimate decision to start the DAO, that was something that we've planned for quite some time. And I would say it's kind of like sending your children to school, but yet you still kind of oversee and look at it and watch over it. You know, we still have quite a lot of number of implementations that we're doing. We're going to get ourselves onto Moonbeam and Moonriver so that we can take advantage of the Polkadot ecosystem and the Kusama network. So that's still something that's in progress that we have to work on. But there's a lot of the other things that we are okay to pass on to the community, things like certain metrics, collateralization ratios, what gets listed on the exchange, what else they want to see next, and how the UI UX needs to be changed, or a lot of these that we're okay to kind of give up control and let the community kind of go ahead and vote and decide what they want to do going forward. And my role on this, obviously, I'm always going to be here to provide some guidance. And to kind of lead a bit on it, because I think obviously, you know, there still needs to be a certain amount of direction, and it's a work in progress. You know, once you know we the amount of control we actually give up depends on how involved the community gets and how they like to go ahead and push this along. So it's not something that's a completely set in stone. It's still a work in progress, but the overall structure of the DAO is there, and we're pushing towards that.
Fantastic. One of the things I'm starting to see is that the layer two space is becoming, you know, a little fragmented, right? You have some of the ZK rollups, you have Arbitrum, you know, Matic, optimistic rollups on the Optimism network. How do you think about developing for all of these disparate ecosystems, essentially? And what do you kind of think the future of L2 trading is?
Well, obviously L2 was quite popular for some time as it's supposed to relieve kind of the log jams on Ethereum and substantially reduce the fees. But the solutions are not exactly perfect, right? Because there's issues about finality. A lot of, you know, people can transfer tokens over to L2 and they have issues getting it back to L1. And so this is still a work in progress. I think ultimately, you know, protocols pick and choose kind of which L2s they want to be on. Okay, or which side chains they want to build on. And they ultimately have to think about, okay, what part of the DeFi ecosystem, how integrated are they going to be in DeFi in the ecosystems if everybody is on different L2s, right? So what we're going to end up with is a lot of people are on different side chains on Polygon, or some people are on Arbitrum, some are on Optimism, some on ZK Rollup. So yeah, I mean, that's okay as long as you have big ecosystems for each of those. But if not, then we need to figure out how to build pipes between the L2s, right? So that all the protocols can talk. Otherwise, we're just in a disparate system and it doesn't really get us anywhere. But those, you know, I think people are working on those. I really hope that everybody can work together to build out the ecosystems and also solve the issues on ETH. I would love to have a big ETH ecosystem too, and something for Linear to go ahead and get involved in.
Yeah, it's still kind of like the early days of the internet for all the blockchains to be able to talk to each other. Eventually, the internet got data standards, and everyone decided we're going to use this protocol, and the rest was built out. The rest is history. Now you don't even know you're using it. So crypto will get there someday. It's probably going to take quite a bit of time because we're still so early. But can you give us some words of wisdom for the first-time user of DeFi who's trying to get into this space makes sense to try linear finance because Binance Smart Chain is so cheap to transact on. But what are some other words of warning or words of guidance that you'd like to give people so they're aware of these things that they need to pay attention to?
I think for the new users of DeFi, I think a lot of it is do a lot of research. You know, go onto the internet go onto YouTube and watch a lot of the videos on how DeFi works or how certain tech works, like how smart contracts work, right? How the L2s work. You know, look at Finimatics, and they have a lot of these how-to videos. Okay, that's the first step. And then the second step is go ahead and try a number of different protocols on different blockchains. And you can you'll be able to quickly see kind of where the pain points are. And you'll probably get the same yields on a majority of them, but kind of how the different chains function and how they interact with each other. And don't get saddened if, you know, put a bit of money, you can go ahead, not financial advice, but, you know, put a bit of money in and test out different protocols and see. And while sometimes you're going to lose some money, you'll probably send assets to wrong addresses, and you know, that's just the way how crypto is, right? It's not, you know, it's not the most 100% user-friendly environment. You know, if you keep using it, you'll eventually get used to it and figure it out. And for us that are building, we try to make it more UI UX friendly, but it's not 100% there. So, you know, just be cautious and be mindful of that, right? And keep an open mind, right? Yeah. I think you'll be amazed by how much money you can actually generate in certain yield farms, and see how kind of people do it and keep abreast of the situations on crypto Twitter.
Yeah. Crypto Twitter, there's so much alpha. You know, if you guys aren't on Twitter, you can follow me at BrycePaul101. Pizza Mind is just at Pizza Mind. I think, Kevin, what's your Twitter? And then also, this is kind of a random question, but who is like your favorite person to follow? If you could give one shout out to like one Twitter influencer, you could, you know, use this time to shout them out.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I see a lot of people go ahead and try to kind of push crypto forward. And I really like following SBF, you know, the CEO and founder of FTX. I feel like he's one of the more forward thinking guys in terms of pushing crypto into retail.
As he's the real deal.
As the real deal, and more so into people that are not 100% already crypto users, right? So he's trying to make FTX a kind of a household name in crypto, something that anybody can get into. And he's doing it. He's getting all over the place, right? And he's going to handle all the regulatory issues. So I really admire him for actually stepping forward and doing that, you know, because a lot of us are, you know, kind of held up in our holes and we're trying to build all these protocols, but he's really changing the industry forward.
Yeah. Every industry really needs a kind of a champion, somebody that's going to go head on, you know, SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried's the same guy who, you know, bought the naming rights or rented the naming rights to the FTX Miami Heat Arena now. And he's got the umpires on the MLB umpire jersey sponsorship. So keep doing what you're doing, Sam, if you're out there listening. We love you. And Kevin, thank you so much for your time today, bringing you on to the Crypto 101 podcast. We hope to bring you back on again soon as more rollouts and upgrades come along with the Linear Finance Network.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you and look forward to talking with you guys again.
Ciao.
Ciao. Thank you.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.